This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, welcome to a tafsir of Surah Az-Zumar in these beautiful days of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we have already taken a couple of verses up to verse number 35 of Surah Az-Zumar, and inshallah ta'ala we plan to continue on today. Ya ikhwati, my brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the things that has become really apparent as we take this verse of these verses of Surah Az-Zumar is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is constantly challenging the disbelievers. And remember the context of the revelation of this surah is just before the first hijrah to Habasha. So no doubt the context is persecution, hatred, anger towards Muslimin, lies, all sorts of terrible atrocities these people do in the names of their gods. And as a result, the believers found no other way except to leave. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here constantly challenges these disbelievers. The question is, why is Allah challenging them only by words, not by action? Meaning, why is Allah not punishing them? Why is Allah not sending a terrible torment upon them? Because then, you see, the hujjah would be established then. Because then there would be no sign of test. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His character of hilm, which is that of forbearance, would not be manifest. If Allah azza wa jalla ruled His dominion through justice before mercy, then we would see a very different situation. We would see punishment coming down automatically after a person does a sin. And as a result, we would all be actually in trouble. So alhamdulillah for Allah's mercy and for His hilm and for His forbearance. For indeed Allah Rabbana is Ghafoorur Rahim, and He has so much tremendous forbearance for His ummah and for His people. Okay, let's carry on where we left off last time, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda? Is Allah not enough for His slave? And this verse should be more than enough to create a sense of immense relief, immense satisfaction, immense hope, immense happiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely enough for His slaves. Of course, over here His 'abda, His slave that He refers to is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why Ibn Ashur rahimahullah says in his tafsir of this verse that in this verse is a level of respect and honor and safety being offered to the Prophet ﷺ that cannot be understood except by the way and the way Allah has said this verse. Alaysa Allah, is Allah not enough for His slave? Meaning Allah has raised Himself up, lowered and humbled His slave, but also offered full protection for His slave by the fact that He has raised Himself up and offered His total care and support for His slave. So it shows that this is honoring Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse honors Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by making the slavery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly to the King of the worlds, by saying that totally Allah's care, total care is upon this one human being, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, the fact that it is in the form of a rhetorical question, which begs the answer of most definitely it is true. And that is the only answer that can come from that question. And as a result, it specifies all of that care and support for one human being, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ, and then He makes you afraid of those other than Him. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِي مِن دُونِهِ, and they, what do? They make you afraid of other than Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning O people, be afraid of the enemies. O people, be afraid of the government. O people, be afraid of shaitan. O people, be afraid of disease. And that is what disbelievers do. Disbelievers do not make you afraid of Allah. Disbelievers and those who do not believe, they make you afraid of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sign of kufr. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. Whoever Allah Azza wa Jal misguides, then there is no one who can guide that person. There is no one who can guide that person. And this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies respect and honor to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, states for him to have complete tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah's total care is for him. And of course, after this verse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not need any sort of care. Because at the end of the day, Allah Azza wa Jal would look after him, did not need any human being to look after him. Alhamdulillah. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُضِلٍ. And whoever Allah Azza wa Jal guides, then no one can misguide. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِعَزِيزٍ ذِي انْتِقَامٍ. Is Allah not Aziz, the most honored? ذِي انْتِقَامٍ, the one who takes retribution, the one who takes recompense. The one who takes revenge, the intiqam, yeah? And that's why when believers read this verse, it gives tremendous support, saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to us in this dunya. We will have our revenge. We will have our retribution. We will have our way one day or the other. And that is why when I read this verse, it gives me tremendous hope. And when the disbelievers read this verse, it should give them tremendous fear. That even if they are given respite now, right now, then a time will surely come when they will be taken to account for everything that they do, and then they will be indeed in trouble. So, alhamdulillah, all my brothers and sisters who are persecuted, who are in trouble, who are in difficulty, some type or the other, know that Allah is Azizun, is the most honored, the intiqam, the one who takes retribution. He will take retribution for you. So what you should do is just try to be Allah's best friend, because Allah will defend his people. And if Allah is not giving that to you right now, it's because Allah is elevating you or raising you up. In one authentic narration, the hadith states that a believer goes through trials and tribulations, until he meets Allah on the day of judgment, there is no more sins left on him. So he goes through difficulty after difficulty, hardship after hardship, until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and there is no sins left on him. And that is the purpose of the test. So do not let the test be a sign that Allah has left you. No, it is only Allah's giving you a chance to raise up in levels, and for the disbelievers to think that they are all right and to misguide them further, and then Allah will take retribution from them and give all the haqq back to you. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you were to ask them, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, who has created the heavens والأرض and the earth, لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ, they will most definitely say it is Allah. Who has created the heavens and the earth, they will most definitely say it's Allah. And this shows that the disbelieving Arabs of the desert, they never used to disbelieve in Allah. They used to think there's God, there's Allah, but there's also all these other gods. So, and they used to attribute khalq and creation to Allah. They used to attribute sustenance to Allah. It is Allah who sustains, it's Allah who nourishes, right? But then they set up, you know, sons along with Allah, and all these other daughters along with Allah, these other gods along with Allah. So Allah says here, then if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say it's Allah. Then Allah says, قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Then have you seen the ones that you call upon other than Allah? إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّ. If Allah wants a harm for me, can they remove the harm? أَوْ أَرَادَنِي رَحْمَةٍ, or Allah wants mercy for me. هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِي. هَلْ, can they keep away his mercy? قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ, say Allah is enough for me. عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, let upon him be the tawakkul of those who have tawakkul. So this verse shows that when you have belief that Allah is the one who created you, Allah is the one who sustains you, Allah is the one who looks after you, then why is it that you don't worship him? Meaning, if you acknowledge his uluhi, his rububiyyah, the fact that he is your Rabb, then why don't you submit with your uluhiyah? Why don't you submit with your submission? And that is the whole argument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an. If you acknowledge He's the Creator, then how do you not worship Him? If you acknowledge He sustains you, how do you not have tawakkul on Him and you have tawakkul on someone else? If you know that He is the only one who answers and provides, how is it that you call on anyone other than others? And that is why, that is why when believers ponder on the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, khalq of creation, the signs of the creation, then that should only increase them in ibadah and ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. And that is a sign of tawakkul, that is a sign of putting your trust on Allah Rabbana and on nothing else. Right? Qul hasbi Allah, say Allah is enough for me. Alayhi yatawakkalil mutawakkilun, upon Him, that those who want to have tawakkul have true tawakkul. So, as the scholars of Islam said, Islam is sabr and tawakkul. That's all it is. 50% sabr, 50% tawakkul on Allah. And on good days, you're having tawakkul on Allah. On bad days, you're having sabr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when you have tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this word tawakkul really mean? Tawakkul means to put my affairs on someone else. Mean, don't worry, my father will take care of me, right? So put my affairs to my dad. My dad will take care of this issue. So that is called tawakkul. And as a result, if you should have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal, then you should not have tawakkul on people, you should not have tawakkul on your job, you should not have tawakkul on the government, you should not have tawakkul on your nationality, you should not have tawakkul on the police, you should not have tawakkul on the army, you should not have tawakkul on the doctors, you should not have tawakkul on the medicine, you should not even have tawakkul on the money that is in your pocket. You should have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord above the seven heavens, the one who will look after you even when everything else has abandoned you. And that is why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he has a very amazing statement. He said, when you find people leaving you, then that is Allah Azza wa Jal telling you that Allah will be enough for you. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enough for you. That's number one. Number two, the scholars of Islam define tawakkul to mean the tawakkul is to have more trust in Allah than even the money in your own pocket. So I've got some money in my pocket right now, but I am more aware that Allah will look after me and feed me my iftar today than will the money in my pocket. Because the money in my pocket might be there, but then it could be fabricated. It could be that I want to have iftar, but then I can't find somewhere to eat. It could be that the food is there, but the food is not palatable, right? So at the end of the day, there's still many ifs and buts. But if you have tawakkul Allah Azza wa Jal, then you know that your nourishment will come. And anyone who's put their trust in Allah has never ever been disappointed. Anyone who has put their tawakkul Allah Azza wa Jal has never gone hungry. Wallahi, never gone hungry. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you had tawakkul on Allah as you should have tawakkul on Him, then He would provide for you just like He provides for the birds who go out in the morning, who are tremendously hungry, wake up hungry, they've got no idea where they will find the rizq, and then they come back to their nest at night with a tummy full. Alhamdulillah, we have never seen birds falling out of the sky hungry. Allah provides for them every day in the same way Allah will provide for us. So let us busy ourselves with doing that which Allah loves and trust Allah to provide for us. Trust Allah to provide for us. This is the best of life, Alhamdulillah, and that is the best way of living. Alhamdulillah. مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ قُلْ يَا قَوْمِ اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ. Say, O my people, اِعْمَلُوا, do your work, عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ, upon what you're able to do. فَإِنِّي عَامِلٌ, for verily I am doing my work, فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then you will very soon know. مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِيهِ, who is the one that is touched by the punishment that disgraces him. وَيُحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ, and then a tremendous punishment will then be established for him in the hereafter. So, in this verse, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to work and to carry on our deeds, our dhikr, our salah, our five pillars of Islam, all our acts of ibadah. He is encouraging us to continue on doing random acts of kindness to people. He is encouraging us to do the works because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also working. So, not to just say with our tongues, but to carry on doing work with our limbs. Then we will surely know who it is that was a liar and who it is that was not the liar. The one who is a liar will find disgrace in this life and then a lasting punishment in the hereafter. And this is what Allah and His Messenger says. And this verse is very critical. Because number one, it shows that true belief is not simply to have it in your heart and to say it on your tongue. True belief is what you show on your limbs. This is a very important point. True belief is what shows on your limbs, how you behave in front of people, how you act with people, how you act with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, just to claim I love Allah in the heart is not enough. You must act. And you know, even the most unrighteous people, you know, actually, alhamdulillah, try to fast in Ramadan because they know that, you know what, they don't want to be left out and they want to do something or the other for the sake of Allah. So we find that Ramadan is a time where we can truly, you know, go back to our deeds. Because, well, alhamdulillah, fasting is not that difficult on most people. It's just staying away from an extra meal, and alhamdulillah, that is not too difficult, especially if you are surrounded by people who are not eating. And so, well, alhamdulillah, ikhwani, do your deeds. Do not be of those people who give lip service to Islam and have no action. Prove the love in your heart with the deeds that you should show on your limbs. Prove it with the action. And Allah Azza wa Jal demands that. And therefore our actions are only a sign of what of being truthful. It is not a sign of anything else. And just doing a deed doesn't mean Allah will accept it. And when you do the deeds, then know this, that Allah will show your deeds on the Day of Judgment. Allah will expose your deeds to the others, good or bad. So therefore, it is in our favor to do good deeds because Allah will expose our good deeds on the Day of Judgment or in this dunya. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will also inform the people about it on the Day of Judgment. So therefore, it's very critical that you do good deeds and not the bad ones. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Then you will surely know about it. مَنْ يَأْتِهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِي Who is the one that touches him, the punishment that disgraces him in this world? وَيُحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ And it becomes permissible for him to enter a lasting punishment in the hereafter. That's what the scholars, As-Sa'di rahimahullah, said in this tafsir. First part refers to the punishment in this dunya, and the second part refers to the punishment in the hereafter. Right? Inna anzalna alayka al-kitaba lin-nasi bil-haq. Verily, it is we have revealed the book to mankind, to you, for mankind in truth. Faman ihtada falinafsih. So whoever guides, then it is for himself that he guides. Meaning he guides himself. Meaning whoever is guided, then it is for himself. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضُلُّ عَلَيْهِ And whoever is misguided, then it is he himself that is misguided. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ And you are not a protector over them. This verse shows, ya ikhwani, that if our Prophet ﷺ cannot be our wakil, cannot be the one who answers for us on the Day of Judgment, cannot be the one who safeguards us on the Day of Judgment, then how can your peer sahab, how can your awliya, so-called awliya, who is so-called in the grave and in the mazar, how can they be your protector? If the Prophet cannot be our wakil for Allah, and wakil is someone who is your agent, right? So you say, you know, you're buying something from Japan, so you say to your agent in Japan, can you make the sale for me on my behalf? Can you negotiate on my behalf? Can you get me the best deal on my behalf? Can you then arrange for my stuff to come to me on my behalf? Yeah. So that is your wakil, right? So if the Prophet says, وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ And you are not a wakil for them or upon them. If the Prophet is not the wakil for us, then what about our peers? And what about our maulanas? And what about our people in the mazars? Can they ever be a wakil for us? Never can they be a wakil for us. Therefore, the Prophet can't be a wakil. The greatest of the Sahaba who are the awliya of Allah can't be wakils. Therefore, our ulama cannot be wakils. Therefore, the righteous people can't be wakils. You are responsible over yourself. You will have to answer to Allah yourself. And therefore, you have no choice but to build your connection with Allah directly. You have no choice. You cannot depend on your relationship with someone else. And that is why, you know, today we have in our countries, Muslim countries, this huge reliance on other people. And when we find a righteous person, we say, you know what, you make dua for me. You're so righteous, you're closer to Allah. You make dua for me, nah? Because me, Allah is too busy to accept my dua, or He doesn't care, or I'm too far away from Allah, or I've got too many sins. So yeah, no. All of this is filthy. These are words of the shaitan. This is how shaitan wants you to feel. And if you feel that way, you're thinking that that person is going to be your wakil for you, that's not going to happen. Yes, it is a sunnah to ask righteous people to make dua for you. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ was asked by the Sahaba saying, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for us. That is true. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would ask the uncle of Ibn Abbas to make dua, uncle of Rasulullah ﷺ, Al-Abbas, to make dua for him. No doubt, that is true. However, That does not mean that we should be only seeking out that way to make dua. And that is why to constantly do this, to constantly ask others to make dua for you and you not to make dua yourself is very disliked. Because that is leading to a door that you don't want to go on. That door is lack of tawakkul on Allah directly. That is lack of connecting with Allah directly. And that is thinking that someone else can answer on our behalf rather than we ourselves. Allahu yatawaffal anfus hina mawtiha. Allah is the one who gives life, who gives death to the soul at the point of their death. Wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. And the ones who do not die in their sleep. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. Then he keeps back the soul upon whom death has been ordained. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى. And he sends the other souls إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And he sends back the other souls to their bodies. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, in this are signs for those who ponder. So, therefore, number of things. Number one, what happens to a soul when we die, when we sleep? And that is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah states that when we sleep, our soul rises up to the heavens. And that is when it meets other souls and it meets other people that might have passed away. And that's when we see dreams. So our souls rise up to the heavens, but a connection still, like a rope connecting to the soul to the body still remains. That is what happens when we sleep. And then when we wake up, the soul returns back to the body directly. Okay? So therefore the soul has risen up and a connection remains to the body. And therefore, alhamdulillah, when Allah Azza wa Jal wants to keep some of the souls, meaning give death in their sleep, then what happens is the soul stays back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the ones who Allah Azza wa Jal wants to give them life, then the souls go back, and then they go back to Allah, go back to the body, and then they wake up next day. Muqatil, one of the great scholars of Islam, said that this verse is an evidence of the day of judgment, of resurrection. Because what is death and what is sleep and awakening, waking up from the sleep, except a mini resurrection, right? Because what is resurrection except death for all living beings and then life back again? And that is what sleep is. Sleep is for every single day we're getting signs of the resurrection every day in our bodies. We're sleeping for some time and then we're waking up for others. So we're getting a sign that Allah is resurrecting us every day. So therefore, people who ponder will really understand that if this is what is happening to us, then what is really going to happen in the Akhirah is just is basically this on a greater scale, that Allah will take the souls away permanently, so they are totally dead, and then thereafter Allah will give them life back again after the death. So if Allah can do that for sleep, Allah can do that for resurrection as well, can't He? So that is لِآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That is the signs, that is for people and others who ponder, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. أَمِ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ شُفَعَاءَ. Have they taken other than Allah shufa'a, shufa'a meaning intercessors other than Allah. Shafi' is the one who intercedes, shufa'a is a plural. أَمِ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ شُفَعَاءَ. Have they taken other than Allah shufa'a? قُلْ أَوَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَمْلِكُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Saying, have you done this? Despite the fact that they do not possess anything, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ شَيْئًا, milk is to possess, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ, nor do they have sense. Meaning, how have you taken as intercessors, other than Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, the idols, the peas, the graves, how have you taken these things as your intercessor, other than Allah, when they do not even possess any bit of shafa'a, they do not have any right to shafa'a. That's what Allah says in the very next verse, قُلْ, say O Muhammad ﷺ to them, لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. To Allah belongs all shafa'a. So therefore intercession belongs to Allah totally. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Him is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then to Allah will you all return back. Right. This verse shows Allah is not a weak king. Allah is a strong king. No one is allowed to beg or speak or even utter any words or any sound except the ones who Allah allows. That means Allah is in total control. So you can't simply say, oh Allah, I want this, oh Allah, I want that. Or this is not now, of course you can, now is just dua, but I'm saying when Allah is present in the akhirah, then you cannot speak in front of Allah, in the court of Allah, when Allah is present. No one is allowed to speak except the one who Allah is happy for them to speak. Allah is happy for them to speak. And Allah is happy for them to speak about the person that they want to speak about, right? And this is why Allah says in the Quran, وَكَمْ مِن مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and how many angels are there in the heavens and the earth that want to make shafa'ah for the people and want to make shafa'ah, but their shafa'ah will never help and will never succeed except for the one who has two conditions. What are those two conditions? Number one is that Allah is happy for that angel or for that human being to speak. Right? So you have to be a firhais. Who will Allah be happy for them to speak in His presence? Those who are righteous, those who are pious, those who are awliya of Allah, those who are His friends, those who are His martyrs, those who are the anbiya, right? They are the ones who Allah is happy for them to speak. And لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى, about whom they are happy for them to speak about. So, first they have to be happy, Allah has to be happy for them to speak in His presence. No one dares speak, so not a ungrateful, unrighteous human being is allowed to speak. Not a peer or a mazar or someone who is a sheikh or so on, so that you consider to be pious, unless he truly is pious, will Allah allow him to speak. And number two, not only that, but number two, and that's important, he must be happy, Allah must be happy for him to be spoken, for him to speak about the person that he's speaking about. So therefore, if Allah in the first place is not happy about you, then he will not allow, or he will not even listen, or he will not even permit a person of righteousness to speak about you. So therefore you have no choice. And subhanAllah, when I read that verse, and I am totally sure that I should not be asking for shafa'ah from anyone except Allah. And I am totally sure that I will not be happy with the shafa'ah of anyone, or I will not be successful, that's the word I'm searching for. I will not be successful with the shafa'ah of anyone unless I already have a good connection with Allah Azza wa Jalla, unless my strength, my connection with Allah is strong. And unless I do that, the shafa'ah will be useless. And that is why my focus has to be that I have to make my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strong. And that is what I should be focusing on. I should be focusing on making my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana jalla jalalu wa taqaddasat asma'u, strong. Because then when it's strong, then Allah will make the shafa'ah of the martyrs and of the angels and of the prophets of God from me. And that's why Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in an authentic hadith in Bukhari, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, O my beloved Messenger of Allah, Man as'adu an-nasa bi shafa'atika yawm al-qiyamah, who will be the happiest of people? Who will be the happiest of people to receive your intercession on the Day of Judgment? So at that point, the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Hurairah, I thought no one would ask me this question except you. Meaning, who else would ask me this question except you? Because Abu Hurairah would ask intelligent questions. So the Prophet ﷺ said, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسَ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the happiest person who will receive my intercession, that I will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Who did he say? Did he say the one who asks me for it? The one who begs me for it? The one who comes to my grave and says salam to me? The one who does... What did he say? أَسْعَدُ النَّاسَ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the happiest person to receive my intercession on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has said from the bottom of his heart, La ilaha illallah, the one who says from the bottom of his heart, sincerely, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. That, Yahwani, is the proof that shafa'ah is from Allah. Allah controls all shafa'ah. You should ask Allah, Oh Allah, bless me with the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ. Not, Oh Prophet, give me your shafa'ah. The Prophet can't do it. It's whoever Allah allows the Prophet to do, whoever Allah convinces the Prophet, whoever Allah makes the Prophet make shafa'ah for you. Therefore ask Allah. not from anyone else. Today, we are so busy making tawassul to other creatures, to other gods, to other deities, or making tawassul to other peers, or to mazars, or to all these graves. And we are asking Hazrat P. Dadalal, we are asking Hazrat we call him Ghawsi Azam, right? And all of these others. We are so busy doing this, rather than calling upon Allah. Where is the connection to Allah and asking for shafa'a from Allah? I hope that inshallah ta'ala we make a point to ponder on this. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Say, to Allah contains all of intercession. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Him is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then you'll all return back to Him. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. And when Allah is mentioned by Himself, اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. اشْمَأَزَّتْ, what does it mean? وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned وَحْدَهُ by Himself, اشْمَأَزَّتْ, you will feel the hearts of those disbelievers shrinking. Okay? اشْمَأَزَّتْ shrinks and becomes hard and becomes covered. That's what اشْمَأَزَّتْ means. Means, you know, have you seen a person who's like, you know, like, can you give me money? Me? Give you money? You know, so that person becomes closed. It becomes constricted, a bit like those flowers that you touch and they just close up. Have you seen those? And so, اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. So their hearts constrict, becomes shrunk and becomes hard. And this is the hearts of those people who do not believe in the hereafter. And it's true, wallahi. When you mention Allah, somehow they don't like it. You know? And it's like the hearts become closed. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. And when other than Allah is mentioned, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. It is as if they are happy and in jest. SubhanAllah. Yani, look at the sign of disbelief, that their hearts shrinkle and become hard at the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than Allah, they're really happy. You mention Ram, you mention Buddha, you mention others other than Allah, they're happy. What is wrong? Why? Don't you know it is Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth? If you know that in your hearts, why do you do that? And when you're in the battlefield, do you remember anyone else other than Allah? When you are on a shipwreck, when you're being shipwrecked on a ship and there is a massive storm in the sea, do you remember anyone other than Allah? SubhanAllah. So, why do you forget Allah at this point? قُلِ اللَّهُمَ فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, O Allah, our Lord, the Fatir, the originator of the samawat, of the heavens and the earth. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, the knower of the unseen, and of the shahada of the unseen world. أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ. You judge between your slaves. فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ, in that which they differ. So this is why Allah says that call upon me. If the shafa'ah belongs to me, and if every single thing belongs to me, call upon me only. I am the one who originated the heavens and the earth. I am the one who knows unseen. I am the ones who judge between my slaves in that which they differ. So call upon Allah only. وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And if it was for those who transgressed, لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah says, and if only for those who did wrong. Adhalamu over here, it refers to those who did shirk and kufr with Allah, not to just those who sin, but those who did shirk and kufr with Allah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And if only those who did shirk and kufr with me possess that which is in the earth, and that which is in the earth, and like everything like it, many times like it. لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ, in order to ransom themselves, مِنْ سُوءِ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, from the evil of the punishment of the hereafter. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. And there has come upon them from Allah that which they never ever thought was going to happen. Meaning what? Meaning on the day of judgment, the punishment is going to be so severe that a disbeliever is going to search for every single thing that he can in order to ransom himself. In fact, he will even grab his child and say, oh Allah, take my child instead of me. Meaning this is how a disbeliever will behave on the day of judgment. And he will try and find everything. And even if he had the dunya and everything in it, Allah would not accept it from him. Because at the end of the day, the only thing Allah will accept is pure sincerity. And that's why the Prophet said, save yourselves from Jahannam even with half a date. Half a date, but here Allah is not accepting a whole dunya. So what is the difference? The difference between half a date and the whole dunya is that the half a date was given for Allah. With sincerity, it's what's in the heart. Allah is not taking the action itself, Allah is taking what's in the heart. And therefore, it is the belief in the heart, it is the sincerity of the heart that elevates a deed from a simple nothing to a simple something, you know? It is the deed of the heart, it is the belief of the heart that elevates a deed from nothing into something, ikhwani. And that is why, my brothers and sisters in Islam, all we should really do is to really focus on our hearts. And that's why the Prophet said, verily one of you cannot give a handful of, you cannot give a mountain of Uhud of sadaqah that would equal to a handful of sadaqah that my companions give. Yeah? And that hadith is authentic. Why did he say that? He said that because the companions had huge ikhlas with a simple handful of sadaqah. Whereas what do? When we give mountains of sadaqah, we don't even have an ounce of the ikhlas that they had. So what we should do is focus on our ikhlas. Take time, take a moment to, before you start your ibadah, before you start reading the Quran, before you listen to these audios, before you do your salawat, take a moment to really purify your heart. Think about why you're giving what you're giving, why you're praying what you're praying, because that is what will change your deed from something simple into something so massive and magnanimous. وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُ يَحْتَسِبُونَ. And there has come upon them what they were never ever thinking. Meaning at the moment of their death, they're thinking, wow, they're going to have a beautiful death, like they say, right? Oh, my grandma, she's all right. She's here, but now she's with Allah. She's having a beautiful, she's in paradise. MashaAllah. I mean, if she's in paradise, what the heck are you doing now? Go now to paradise. Ask Allah for death right now. The problem is, we're lying. We know we're lying. We know that our grandma and our grandpa, you know what? They spent a lifetime of sin. If they spent a lifetime of sin, they can't go to Jannah. If they did not spend their time working for Allah, they can't go to Jannah. Come on, guys. Unless with the mercy of Allah. So let's not be foolish. Let's not expect that when we die, Jannah is going to come to us saying, oh, you know, here you are, Hurul Ain, running to you, my darling husband, you know, I've been waiting for you. Don't expect that. What you should expect is justice. Expect justice. Yeah? And if you expect justice, then you'll prepare in the best of ways. You'll prepare with your sadaqah and your siyam and your salah. You will prepare with your ibadat. If you don't expect justice, if you're in a la-la land, and you're expecting some sort of fairy tale, that is when you are careless. And you think, oh, I said la ilaha illallah, I'm going to go to Jannah. If you're going to go to Jannah, which is better than this dunya, then you should ask Allah for Jannah right now. You should ask Allah for death right now. But you know you haven't earned it yet. And that is why, if you know you haven't earned it yet, then, and you know that Allah is going to deal with you with justice, if that is the case, then you should prepare for it. And that is why the great scholars of Islam would read this verse and cry. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. That is why it was reported that At-Tabari, one of the great scholars of Tafsir, recited this verse at the time of his death. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. And there came upon them that which they were not expecting. Meaning, at the time of their death, they're expecting Jannah to come to them, people of mercy to come to them, angels of Rahmah to come. But there comes upon them angels of punishment and Jahannam. So the people who truly will succeed on the day of judgment and upon their death are those who ponder on this verse and really prepare for the justice of Allah. How do you prepare for justice? Give sadaqah now. How do you prepare for justice? Make tawbah now. This is how you prepare for the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. And there has come upon them the evil of what they have earned. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And they have surrounded them that which they used to mock, that which they used to mock. And so they have come upon them what they used to earn, and the mockery of their mocking Allah Azza wa Jalla's deen has come upon them and has now surrounded them. SubhanAllah. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, make a point to read this verse and fill your heart with fear of Allah, so that we are not of those people who come upon the moment of our death and are surrounded by punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. This is important. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ. And when mankind is touched by punishment, dur, or harm, da'ana, he calls upon us, saying, oh Allah, remove it from me. Meaning he knows that only Allah can remove it, and that punishment is from Allah, and Allah can only remove it. ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً. Then when I turn his punishment or difficulty into ease, خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا. And when we have turned that difficulty into ni'mah, into a blessing from us, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. Saying that blessing, oh, only came to me because of my knowledge. Alhamdulillah, I'm rich because I know how to make money. Alhamdulillah, I am a doctor because I worked hard, you know. I studied and I got that, got those grades, you know. That's wrong. That's wrong. You cannot attribute blessings to Allah. You cannot attribute blessings to yourself. You must attribute it back to Allah. And you know, the more I pondered on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the more it became clear to me that the difference between the prophets of God and today, many of us, is that we are too quick to want to be praised for that which we don't deserve. And we are too quick to attribute goodness to ourselves, except to Allah, and not to Allah. So when we say, MashaAllah, you did really well, brother. Fantastic. What amazing grades you got. Thank you. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I said, what do you mean, thank you? Say, no, it's from Allah. Allah gave it to me. Allah did it for me, and Allah attributed it for me. These are the first words. And you know, the believers should be the first to attribute good to Allah rather than to themselves. And that is what precisely what happened in the authentic narration. It was reported in Bukhari. It was narrated that the Prophet ﷺ was once with the Sahaba, and they didn't have water. So what did he do? He asked for a bowl, a big bowl. And then what did he do? He put his hands in there with his ring in there. He put his hands in there, and water started to come out. Water started to come out of his hands. One of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ that is authentically reported. And then it filled up the whole bowl, and the people drank from it until they were all quenched. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. He didn't attribute it to himself. Even though the miracle happened from his own hand, which showed that the Prophet ﷺ is a special human being, right? He could have at least said, you know what? You know, thank you guys. No, thank you. You know, selfie, take a selfie. You know, it's me, I did it. No. Instead of that, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah for everything. And that is what we should do. And this is why we should never attribute goodness that comes to us because of our own knowledge or because of our own excellence. No. Allah azza wa jal, yes, He has put things with asbab. Knowledge, good knowledge will lead to good results, right? No doubt about that. And knowing how to do business will lead to profits. No doubt about that. But at the same time, do not attribute it to yourself. It's Allah who taught you. It's Allah who gave you the opportunity. It's Allah who gave it to you because of which you have the blessings. Do not attribute it to yourself. Please, ya Ikhwani. And that's why, if it wasn't for the police, we would have been destroyed. Have you heard of those? If it wasn't for the fireman, the house would have burnt down. If it wasn't for the doctor, I would have died. No. It's not that. It's if it wasn't for Allah, then the doctor. If it wasn't for Allah, then the policeman. If it wasn't for Allah, then the fireman. It has to be that way, Ikhwani, because it's ultimately Allah who gave the ability to the policeman. Allah who sent the policeman. Allah who gave him the water to be able to put the fire out, and gave him the gun so that he can stop the thieves. So if it wasn't for Ikhwani, if it wasn't for Allah, none of this would happen. So attribute the blessings back to Allah. Back to Allah. طيب. وَإِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Rather, it is a fitna. What is a fitna? The fact that you say that this is from your knowledge is a fitna. It's not from your knowledge. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where it's from. It is not from your knowledge. It is from Allah azza wa jal. قَدْ قَالَهَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And that's why, one more point I forgot to mention. بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ. Meaning the knowledge that Allah gave you, the status Allah gave you, the Prophet Allah gave you is a fitna. It's a fitna because He tests you whether you trust the fitna, whether you think the knowledge got you there. That is the fitna, ya Ikhwani. The fitna should therefore never be attributed back to anyone except, therefore we should never ever trust this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives you this blessing. بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Rather, it is a fitna, a test, and majority of them do not know. قَدْ قَالَهَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And many other people who have said this before them, so none of this has ever benefited them, what they have earned. What they have earned has never benefited them. فَأَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. So the punishment, the evil of what they have earned touched them. وَالَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ سَيُصِيبُهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. And those who wronged themselves amongst them, they will touch them what they have earned, the evil of what they have earned. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. And they are not away from the punishment of Allah. They are not away from the grasp of Allah, from Allah punishing them. Ya Ikhwani, be very careful what you attribute. Because simple words that we attribute can become words of kufr and shirk. If we say, Alhamdulillah, the police did it. You know, no, the police didn't do it. Alhamdulillah, Allah, then the police, you know. And that's why a sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, whatever you wish, ya Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ corrected him and said, no, whatever Allah wishes, then you wish. Yeah. And so the Prophet ﷺ corrected. Even the Prophet is not worthy enough to have that. So it is Allah who wishes. Meaning it's Allah who has total control. And then the final verse, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Don't you know? It is Allah who has total control over the risk. So it's not your wealth who brought you the risk. It's Allah who has total control over the risk. هُوَ الَّذِي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. It is Allah who sends the risk to who He wants. وَيَقْدِرُ. And from others He withholds. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. In that are signs لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. For people who believe. Meaning, it is Allah who brings the risk, not our knowledge, not anything else. Therefore, trust Allah. Do not trust your knowledge. Trust Allah. Don't trust your status. Trust Allah. Don't trust your title. Trust Allah. Don't trust your job. Trust Allah. Don't trust your family. Trust Allah. Don't trust your money. And that is why, if we trust Allah, we will have tawakkul. If we have tawakkul, we will give charity. And that is the true sign that we have tawakkul on Allah. Jazakumullah khair. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, in the next session, will be some of the most amazing verses about tawbah, about forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until that time, inshallah, I hope that inshallah ta'ala you benefited from today. And I ask Allah azza wa jal to make this in a mizan hasanat. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.